Today we are continuing our series in Acts. We're in Acts 15, or at least the first two-thirds of it. The last part of Acts chapter 15 is where Paul and Barnabas get into a dispute over whether to use John Mark, and the result was that they go their separate ways. Each sets up their own team, and you have two teams going out. We're not going to talk a whole lot about that today, but we want to talk about the Jerusalem Council today. The Jerusalem Council was the very first church council to happen. It's dated to around 49 AD, so we're talking maybe after the first 10 or 15 years of the church's growth. We're going to see here in a few minutes that some Judaizers come in and claim that the Gentiles must observe the law of Moses or they can't be saved. And so they convene a council to decide what the position of the church is on that question. So with that in mind here, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, we ask just to give insight and Lord, to give people proper instruction, because Lord, we have Judaizers today. We have cults such as the Hebrew Roots movement, the Black Israelite movement that would teach that you must observe the law of Moses. There are certain segments of Messianic Judaism that lean this way as well. So, Lord, there's people today that have fallen into that. So, Lord, we ask that people be instructed concerning what the Word of God says. You know, concerning what the Word of God says concerning the liberty of the Gentile. And the reality of the new covenant. We pray all these things in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. We're starting in the first verse here. And of course, these first five verses I've titled as the Judaizers' attack. And we see here that in verse 1, certain men came down from Judea and taught the brethren, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. Therefore, when Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and dispute with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders about this question. So we see here that these men come in. Last time I talked about how one way that false brothers come in is persecution. Another way is through infiltration, where you have people infiltrate and you have people sowing ideas that are alien to the Word of God, that are alien to the movement God has started, and that was what was happening here. You had these Judaizers, and they figured if they can't kill the Messianic sect through persecution, they would do it through false doctrine. And so they say you have to observe the law of Moses, or you cannot be saved. And Paul and Barnabas went into a dissension, a dispute. They had made enough inroads here that it was determined that they should go to the apostles and elders. The Judaizers were making significant inroads into the church. And of course, it's not really a small wonder, since a big part of the early church was Jewish people who had been taught up in the law of Moses, who had been trained in the law of Moses. And so it was a big step to say, well, some people can come in without that. So let's see what happens here. Verse 3. So being sent on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, describing the conversion of the Gentiles, and it caused great joy to all the brethren. And when they had come to Jerusalem, they were received by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they reported all the things that God had done. So what's happening now, while Paul was coming back, they were giving their report. God's doing great work among the Gentiles. But some of the sect of the Pharisees who believed rose up saying, it is necessary to circumcise them and command them to keep the law of Moses. So even in the meeting where they're having a council, you've got these Judaizers coming in trying to take over the church. So what happens? They have the council. Starting in verse 6 here, we see at this point they're having the actual council meeting. So the Judaizers in the preceding verses aren't here. They was just people that was a part of the church that was in Jerusalem. They was not on the leadership. But with the council, you have the leaders that are meeting. The apostles and elders, Paul and Barnabas would have been in this. There would have been other elders in this. Then the 12 apostles would have been seated, and they were convening to discuss the matter. And when there had been much dispute, you see, it even worked its way in some of the apostles. Some of them were going one way, some of them were going the other. So you had this hard dispute going on. And we're going to see two men rise up in, above the fray. And one of those men is going to give the experimental report. He's going to give the boots on the ground report. He's going to give testimony of what God's actually doing and the evidence that God is at work among the Gentiles. He's going to show that God is saving the Gentiles, and that they could know that in terms of just observing what was happening around them. Verse 7, we see Peter is the man who does this. And when there had been much dispute, Peter rose up and said to him, "Men and brethren, you know that a good while ago God chose among us that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of gospel and believe." So God, who knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us, and made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why do you test God by putting a yoke on the necks of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we are able to bear? So Peter's given the empirical report here. He's given the evidence here. He said, we've been among the Gentiles. We've seen God work mightily. We've seen the Holy Spirit fall. We've seen miracles happen. We've seen lives transformed. He's saying, I know God's working among them. I've seen it with my own eyeballs. And then he reminds them, why put on them this yoke that neither we nor our fathers could bear? Israel failed to keep the law of Moses. There's only one person who kept fully the law of Moses, and that is Jesus Christ. Only one person. So it just wasn't possible. And so Peter concludes the empirical report, the experiential report, the evidential report concerning what God is doing, documenting the miracles God is doing. And now, James is about to appear. But let's continue here before James appears. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in manner as they. Then the multitude kept silent and listened to Barnabas and Paul, declaring how many miracles and wonders God worked through among the Gentiles. So Peter's testimony is corroborated by Paul and Barnabas. So up to this point, we have Peter, we have Paul and Barnabas stating their own eyewitness testimony of the work of God among the Gentiles. And of course, some would answer, is this biblical? We don't want to be a church that just goes by experience. And the New Testament church wasn't an experience-only church. They consulted experience and they consulted the biblical foundations. And so James is about to answer the question, is this biblical? And after they had become silent, James answered, saying, "Men and brethren, listen to me. Simon has declared how God at the first visited the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And with this, the words and the prophet agree." So James begins here by saying, look, Peter, Paul, and Barnabas, you see their testimonies. Well, I'm now going to show you that what they are claiming as their experience, we can back with the Word of God. We can go to the Bible, open up the Bible, and see where it says, "Thus saith the Lord." And so now, at the latter part of verse 15, we're going to see what that "thus saith the Lord" really is. And with this is the words of the prophet agreed, just as it is written. After this, I will return and will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and will rebuild its ruins, and will set it up, so that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, even all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who does all these things. After this, I will return and rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and I will rebuild its ruins, and will set it up, so that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, even all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who does all these things. Known to God from all eternity are all his works. So James is quoting out of the Old Testament here. He is laying the foundation in the Old Testament. And there were other places. If you look in Ezekiel, if you look in Isaiah, there's multiple places where the Lord talks about doing a work among the Gentiles. The Lord told Abraham, through thee all the families of the earth will be blessed. It was not God's intention when he cut covenant with Abraham for just one single nation to have all the blessings. It was intended for all mankind. And so now that James has laid the biblical foundation, this is what he says. Therefore, I judge that we should not trouble those among the Gentiles who are turning to God, but that we write to them. And he's going to list just a few things here that's being backloaded from the Mosaic Law. There's a few things that he wished to still apply, but not all the ceremonial things. This is the list here. But we write to them to abstain from things polluted by idols. No idolatry, folks. From sexual immorality. From things strangled and from blood. For Moses had through many generations those who preach him in every city, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath. So James said, don't trouble the Gentiles. The Gentiles are not obligated to obey all of the Mosaic law. Then it pleased the apostles and the elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas was also named Barsabbas, and Silas, leading men among the brethren. They wrote this letter by them. And this is the actual letter. The apostles, the elders, and the brethren, to the brethren who are of the Gentiles in Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia, greetings. Since we have heard that some who went out from us have troubled you with words, unsettling yourselves, saying, you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. It seemed good to us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men to you with our beloved Barnabas and Saul, men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have therefore sent Judas and Silas, who will also report the same thing by word of mouth. See what's happening, folks? They had two ways to communicate. That way, people would know that it wasn't a phantom. It wasn't a scheme. Multi-factor authentication today would be a good analog to show that this was genuine. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit, verse 28, and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that you abstain from things offered to idols, from blood, and from things strangled, and from sexual immorality. If you keep yourselves from these, you will do well. Farewell. So when they were sent off, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the letter. And when they had read it, they rejoiced over its encouragement. Now Judas and Silas themselves, being prophets also, exhorted and strengthened the brethren with many words. And after they had stayed there for a time, they were sent back with greetings from the brethren to the apostles. However, it seemed good to Silas to remain there. Paul and Barnabas remained in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord, and to many others also. The Jerusalem Council. It's the very first church council. And there they decided that the Gentiles did not observe, have to observe the law of Moses to be saved. And of course, the new covenant replaced the Mosaic covenant. Instead of circumcision, we're baptized into Christ. Of course, and we see here in this very short text how the early church struggled to understand the process that they went through to understand, to shift their understanding. And of course, in the days to come, the years to come, Paul would write letters that would outline the gospel. We see this in Romans, where he would refer to Genesis 15:6 to establish justification by faith. And we see Hebrews referring to Melchizedek. But in the AD 40s, the church was struggling to come to grips, and they were under attack by people who wanted to subvert them, to go back into bondage. The Jerusalem Council. And we've had other church councils since, and we have meetings of churches. When we have thorny doctrinal problems, where we get together, we discuss and seek a biblical mandate to see what the Bible says. The apostles decided correctly here, because the New Testament was a change of covenant. And we're not going to get into all the nuts and bolts of that, but the book of Hebrews is a very good book to start if you want to know more about how there was a change of covenant. The Israelites were baptized into Moses and initiated into the Mosaic covenant. The church was baptized into Jesus Christ and initiated into the new covenant. And this was the doctrinal background for the Jerusalem Council. Heavenly Father, we come right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, I'm sensing there's going to be some that read this that are going to struggle with this, or maybe even oppose the idea. They might come from a black Israelite or Hebrew roots background, and they would argue that you must follow the law of Moses. They would contradict the finding of the Jerusalem Council. They would say that Peter was wrong. They would say that Paul is wrong. And so, Father, we ask that you just give people conviction to help them to see that we have grace, we have freedom in the cross. We're in a new covenant. That new covenant which takes the righteousness of the law and applies it into our hearts, gives us the inner drive to obey, but that we're not saddled with all sorts of sundry ceremonial things that even the Israelites could not keep. We pray all this in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen.